All right, so Veterans Day, we're going to turn to Psalms 28, 7. Psalms 28, 7, and let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, as everyone has said so far, thank you for our country, thank you for our freedom. We appreciate that so much. And as Adam said, we don't ever want to take that for granted. We ask you to bless this morning, bless our country, pray for our military and our missionaries all around the country. Lord, we pray for the folks that are sick. It's in our church family. We take a minute to pray for everyone on the back of our bulletin that has all these needs. Lord, in Jesus' name, we come together and ask that you'll meet those needs. And you know what each person needs, and we just trust you with that. Lord, help me teach this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So Psalms 28:7, Veterans Day. Let's read together. It says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song I praise him." Everybody said amen? Amen. So I was going to mention Megan Chastain in the message today, but she's not here, so might just kind of skip over that part. I thought it was pretty cool for her. But look at this scripture real quick. It says, "The Lord." Do you notice the word "Lord" is all caps, right? And all caps. So just kind of remember that whenever you see that. What that really means is it's talking about Yahweh. In the original, everybody, Bible students, you know that the priests and all the Israelites and all that, they didn't really want to say the Lord's name. They were kind of afraid of it. They were respectful of it. So they basically had four little letters, and it sounded like a breath. You know, it says Yah, Yah. And they didn't really want to say it because they respected the Lord so much. And the reason I'm bringing this up, because you'll see this throughout the Bible, and whenever you see it, all caps like that, you need to understand there's one little simple truth to this, is that what that means, that's basically Yahweh. And they come up with Yahweh by combining two vowels from the word Adonai. And Adonai means something a little bit different. And they took two vowels and added to that Yah, that word. Sounds funny, don't it? Yah. But, and see, they come up with the word Yahweh. And, Adonai means more of a protection, like a protective, you know, guardian father. And in Yahweh, which they combined it together, made a word called Jehovah. And some people don't like that word because it's kind of a made up word, how they kind of put these letters together. But Yahweh means the great I am. It means God is. God is. He's everywhere. And they combine those two words together, Adonai, and it means God is everywhere at every time in every place. He's over there in that corner, right? He's up there with Derry. He's in the children's church, you know, nursery. He's everywhere. He's inside of our body. He's, if you're born again Christian, right? But he's everywhere. And that's the point of the message this morning, is him being our strength and our shield and our protector. So we need to accept and understand that everywhere we go, whatever we do, God is there for us. He's there to protect us, to be our strength and our shield. And that word strength means, in the Hebrew, it means to strengthen us physically and also mentally or emotionally. We get strength from him mentally and emotionally and also physically. And then that word shield, that's why I was going to mess around with Megan a little bit this morning. Because really in the Hebrew, that word shield means Megan. And it's spelled the same way as her name. Megan. It's pronounced this funky Hebrew sound, but I'm not going to do it because it sounds like I got a head cold. But Megan, and that's what it is. And guess what? That word Megan, I kind of dig this stuff, so I'm sorry if I'm on a rabbit hole. But that word Megan is where we get the word buckler from. And a buckler, anybody know what a buckler is? a buckler, a shield. If you read this scripture and you just kind of think about it, that word shield, it's not really talking about a big shield like you see these guys tote around these big shields, these knights in shining armor, whatever. But that's really what's called a buckler. It's a magen, which is really a buckler. And that buckler is like a little round shield about that big, maybe about a foot, maybe around, you know? And you keep it on your wrist like this, and it's to protect with close quarter combat. You get it? So when you're in close quarter combat, God is our buckler. In other words, you know, the guy has a sword in his hand, and he's got a little buckler on his wrist, and it's all for that combat up close. It says, my heart trusts in him. That word heart, you guys know I always talk about that. That word heart means what? Your soul. And your soul being your mind, will, and emotions. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. So in our mind, in our will, what we decide to do, in our emotions, which is our feelings, it says we will trust in him. And he will help us. And then our heart leaps. With what? Joy. Veterans Day. Let me tell you a little story real quick. Most of you know I was a clinical therapist at Greenleaf, and I worked in the PTSD and addiction program. And I'm not going to tell you his name because of confidentiality reasons, but I had a really nice, sharp man. He was a colonel in the Army. I may have mentioned him before. He graduated from West Point. And then he got a master's degree at Harvard. I highly respected this man. He was in his 18th year in the Army. He had done multiple tours in combat. I think I remember, it was over 10. It was like 10, 11, 12 tours of real combat, Iraq and Afghanistan and everything in between that. Very respected man. He's a genius. Not kidding. Matter of fact, if you've ever read my little book that I wrote, the little cartoon characters in it, he drew those cartoon characters. I was teaching class, and he would take notes, you know, and he would draw what I was teaching, and it was very cool. But he was a very wounded man. And I'm telling this not to make you feel bad, but just it is Veterans Day, and we do need to think about those things. And I didn't know the children were going to be here this morning, so I'm going to kind of G-rated. Is that okay? But he suffered greatly, terribly with PTSD. And you all know what that is, right? Post-traumatic stress disorder. Terrible. And to the point where he had night terrors. Not nightmares. Nightmares is bad, but night terrors is really bad. And I won't go into the details about that. You can use your imagination. And he suffered with that really, really bad. And he suffered with addiction because he had got on pain pills. And if you guys in the military, especially in the last 20 years, you know, they don't, but they used to. I think they're changing that now. But any type of injury, any type of, you know, wound or whatever, they're handing them pain medicine. So this guy had been blew up 3 times. I mean blew up like in whether he's in a Jeep or, you know, whatever, you know, personnel carrier. Or that kind of thing. I had been shot multiple times. So he had all kinds of things going on in his body. This man was broken. He had a beautiful family, beautiful kids, and he was broken. He was broken emotionally, and he was broken physically. Freedom has a high price tag. Do you agree? Freedom has a high price tag. Friday was Veterans Day, and we do want to honor those who have fought and served our country, those who are still serving our country. We want to honor those today. I think sometimes we can all do it. Sometimes that we can take our freedom for granted if we're not careful. And sometimes I think, especially if you've never been to a foreign third world country. If you've never visited or lived in one of those countries, it can be sometimes easy to take our freedom for granted. Y'all hear me? Really. I've been to a lot of countries around the world in the military, and America is still the best place that I've found to live in. Amen? And I know America is not perfect. Obviously, we have our national sins for sure. But God's grace is sufficient for America too. Just like God's grace is sufficient for us in our own lives, in our own sins. I know I'm a sinner saved by grace, and the Bible says so are you. We've all sinners and fallen short of the glory of God, haven't we? We really have, you know. But the good news is God's grace is sufficient for me and you. He loves us with an everlasting love. He assured us that if we confess our sins, right, He is just and faithful and He will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Just like America, I believe America today for sure is due for a dose of 2 Chronicles. And you guys know what I'm going to read. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. My friends, that starts with you and I. It starts in the church. Can I get an amen on that one? It starts with us. It starts with us personally repenting of our sins. In other words, stop doing some of the things that we know we shouldn't be doing. Some of the things we know we shouldn't be looking at, listening to. Certain places we don't need to go. It's a personal thing. I'm not judging you at all. But that's where we're all at. That's where America's at. You know. For 246 years, America has lost many, many men and women to war so that we can have our freedom. So far, praise the Lord, so far in America, we can still come together and praise the Lord and study the Bible and worship and fellowship and have fun together, like Adam mentioned this morning. And we don't have to worry about bombs or bullets or bad guys too much, you know. We do have a security team here. Thank you. If you're new, we actually do have a security team and a plan here at our church. Derry has the sniper rifle up here. He's got the high point. Hey, you know, you never know. God bless this country. I believe that God birthed this country. Even at the beginning, it was rotten. I don't mean to offend you and your, you know, grandiose thoughts of how the country was started, but, you know, those men were not perfect. I mean, a lot of them drank. Yeah, we don't want to do all that. But God put this country together. I believe that. And I think He still has a purpose for us. Amen? I really do. The Apostle Paul had a run-in with his freedom. He was locked up and was about to be beaten. Now, by law, a Roman citizen not proven guilty could not be chained up or beaten. The same is true when we belong to Christ. The same is true for us. We cannot, if you're a blood-bought, born-again believer, we cannot be proven guilty of sin because we are represented by Jesus Christ. Amen? We are found innocent. One day when we stand before God, we will be found innocent, not because of anything we did or anything we do, all because of what Christ did on that old rugged cross. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, we will be proven innocent because of the blood that washed away our sins. That's encouraging to me. that's encouraging to me. It is. Now, the law in America says that we are innocent until proven guilty. God's law says we were born guilty. We were born sinners and found guilty and really, honestly, sentenced to die by God's law because of our sin. However, everybody say however. However, the good news is, praise the Lord, the highest court of appeals in the entire universe with God as judge and jury will find again a blood-bought, born-again believer not guilty. I am so thankful for that. But let me throw this in here. But sometimes we are held captive in our own minds by things that hinder us from our past. Things like hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Things like trauma and shame from our past can keep us held captive. Worries and concerns about what's going on in the present can hold us captive. And then if we're not careful, the fear for the future, that fear can hold us captive in our mind. Here's the good news. There is no battle. There is no conflict. There is no war that can't be won with the help of Jesus Christ, our personal Savior. God is on our side. He told us in the Scripture that He would be with us. He would never leave us and never forsake us. Amen? Let's talk about Paul just a minute in Acts 22. Acts 22, verse 25 through 28. You ready? I'm going to read it. It says, when they tied Paul down to lash him, Paul said to the officer standing there, he says, is it legal for you to whip a Roman citizen who hasn't even been tried? When the officer heard this, he went to the commander and asked, what are you doing? This man is a Roman citizen. So the commander went over and asked Paul. Think about that. He just kind of randomly went, hey, Paul, are you a citizen? Paul answered, yes, I certainly am. And then the commander says, well, I am too. He said, it cost me plenty. And in my studies this week, I paused and I said, what is up with this? So I dug in a little bit. And I love to dig in and find all the little cool things, you know. And I found out that there's three types of citizens in Rome. Because, you know, how do they trust Paul? Like, Paul, yeah, I'd be saying that too, wouldn't you? Oh, yeah, I'm a Roman citizen. You know, just don't beat me no more. I'll tell you whatever you want. Anyway. So there's three basic citizenships in Rome. There was this commander, you know, cut to the chase here, he actually bought his right. And they called them freemen. Freemen. They called them freemen. As citizens of Rome, they were freemen. And then you had the other type was called, I can't remember what it was called, but they were born as a Roman citizen. And then you had the other ones, they were conquered. In other words, they conquered this tribe or this village or this nation or this tribe, whatever. You know, they conquered them, so they gave them the right to become a Roman citizen if they paid them enough money. You know, and so that was the angle there. So when you're born a Roman citizen, you have full rights. And guess what? They didn't have to pay property taxes. That's a good idea, right? How many property taxes went up this year? Oh, geez. Anyway, so they got to serve in the military. They got to participate in all the cool stuff that was in Rome. Full citizenship. The conquered ones, they got the little bit less rights. And then the freemen, they even got lesser rights. And they had a few cool things they could do. They could join the military, maybe have a career and support their family better. So this commander was a freeman. So I dug in a little bit more. So how did they tell? So I found out that they did not have like a passport or ID or a tattoo or some kind of thing or paperwork or something like that. Now, the conquered people had paperwork. The freemen had paperwork because they'd bought their way. So they gave them paperwork to secure that citizenship. But guess what? If you're born a Roman citizen, there's no paperwork. And here's how they could tell if they're a Roman citizen. Three types. And Paul was right in the middle of this. Three types. One is who you associated with. They had their circles, right? Who you associated with, they could vouch for you. You know? Men's ministry, somebody walked up, we could vouch for, you know, your Pauline Baptist. Yeah, he goes to Pauline Baptist. He goes to Pauline Baptist. Yeah. We could vouch for that. Second one was how well they spoke Latin. If they were fluent in Latin, they could really, you know, they could tell, hey, this guy is educated. He was born in Rome. He was raised, you know, with the language. And the third one was the most interesting to me. Those are clothes. A true Roman always wore a toga. Everybody know what a toga is? I'm not going to go there, but yeah. God, I couldn't help but get a, it's terrible. They wore a toga, and it was against the law for anyone to wear a toga in that time. Actually, a bed sheet wrapped around that kind of thing, you know. But I thought that was kind of interesting. So there you go. Paul answered, but I am a citizen by birth. Paul was defending his right as a Roman citizen. The captain that was about to have Paul beaten used to be a slave himself. But again, he paid money for his freedom. Paul said, I was born a free man. You see, the point of all this, guys, is that salvation cannot be bought. It cannot be earned. It can only be obtained through accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. We have to place 100% of our faith personally in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And then, guess what? The Bible says that we're born into God's family. And then we have all these rights and all these privileges and, you know, eternal life, and the Holy Spirit comes in us and gives counsels and gives, there's just tons and tons of, I'd say, benefits, you know, rights, privileges of being born into the family of God. Eternal life is, to me, the ultimate, right? We will never die. That means that when we accept Him as our Savior, our old self dies. We become dead to sin, but alive in Christ. God forgives our sins, the past, the present, and the future. Think about that one. We cannot be condemned for our sin ever. We're free. We were given a death sentence at birth, but Jesus died in our place. Jesus died so that we could come to Him and be born again. He said, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Innocent. Innocent, Danny. Innocent and never to be proven guilty. We are free. Amen. Thank God today for our spiritual freedom. Thank God today for our physical freedom in America. We thank God for our country, our veterans, and all the young men and women that are still out there serving. I think about them now during the season more than any time, I guess, because I know what it feels like to be away from family during Thanksgiving and Christmas. Lynn and I got married. I was in the Marine Corps. She was in the Navy. We got married in August. I shipped out to the South China Sea. About a month later, I went to Okinawa and Philippines, Hong Kong. Can't tell you about my top secret trip. I went to China. I can't tell you, it's top secret. Okay, I'll tell you. Me and a couple of buddies, we met this cool cat, Chinaman. Hong Kong was not part of China at that time. Now it's back to China. But he knew a guy. So if you repeat this, I'll deny it. No, I'm just kidding. No, I've never saw combat. Thank God, I did my time and got out. But we followed this guy and went across into China, this little bitty village and town, and I bought Lynn some China. Remember that? That China? Anyway, that's my top secret mission. Don't laugh at me, David. But it was an adventure for sure. But we need to remember these guys, man. They're young men and young women sitting on some cold mountain right now. Out in the middle of the ocean, sitting on this boring ship. There are still young men and women out there in the desert right now. In the jungles. In the inner cities of crazy third world countries. Right, Larry? They're sitting on these posts out there thinking, man, I wish I could be home with my children. I wish I could be home with my spouse. I wish I could see my mom and dad. Thanksgiving. It's Christmas. I'm not going to miss it. So let's remember them, will you? That's why I have this little, if you're new, I have this little army man sitting up here. It helps me remember. I gave him out, two or three years ago? I gave him out on Veterans Day. It helps me remember. Keep remembering our military and our prayers. These are our warriors. So I'm going to close with this. Listen to what one of the greatest warriors that's ever lived, what he said. God's mighty man, King David. He said this in Psalms 91:11. He said, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say unto the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." Listen to the words. "Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will also observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. It will come to pass. If you say, 'The Lord is my refuge,' and you make the Most High your dwelling, listen, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways." King David said time and time again, "The Lord God Almighty, I will put my trust in." Proverbs chapter 3, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in everything you do, put God first, and He will direct your steps." King Jesus is worthy. He's worthy of our trust. He's worthy of our praise and our honor. We shall rest under the wings of the Almighty, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus has set us free. Let freedom ring. Let freedom ring. Amen. Praise His holy name. He is a good, good Father. He loves you. Amen. Do you know Jesus today? Do you know Him? I'm not asking you if you're a member of a church somewhere or if you've attended a church a lot. I'm asking, do you personally know Him as your Savior? If you did not, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. So I'm going to ask us all to close our eyes and bow our head. And if you'd like to give your life to Christ right now, you can do this right here in your seat. I just pray that you'd say this prayer with me. And afterwards, I'd love to talk with you, meet with you. So let's pray. If you want to get saved, you just say this prayer. Dear Jesus, I repent of my sins. I place my faith in the death, burial, and resurrection. I give you my life. The best way I know how, I'm going to serve you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen.